What the fuck are you wearing?
I'm not wearing anything.
This is just my face, bro.
He's wearing nobody can hear anything you say mask.
Yeah, I can't hear shit you're saying right now.
Oh, that's because the microphone is like way on the other side of the desk.
Well, I mean, it could be that or the fucking mask that you're wearing, but yeah.
I'm not wearing a mask. So it is later revealed that the killer is Santa.
It was pretty fun to watch it.
Ashley came home in the middle of that and she's like, are you watching porn?
She can't, yeah.
And I was like, yep. Basically.
We're halfway there.
Yeah.
But more on that later.
I would have said, duh. What else am I supposed to do?
I'm unattracted to you.
Hello? 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 Hey, quiet! It's him again, the Mona!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cult of Horror. This is your kind of weekly podcast about horror movies when we aren't experiencing technical and strategical difficulties. But yeah, my name is Hunter. This is Eric.
Hello.
And this is Elliot.
Why you gotta say technical difficulties?
Yeah, I mean, it was technically difficult.
Dropping the ball. I was just saying, we dropped the ball.
My brain.
You have this fucking shitty producer who doesn't plan anything correctly, and then everything is like last minute. So we just had to scrap the other one for lack of time and bad management.
Yeah, we gotta fire that guy.
That's you, Hunter.
Me?
He's talking about you.
There's only three
of us, and I'm that's not me.
If I'm being honest, I'd love to be fired as a producer, but here
no
we
podcast,
are.
No podcast, man.
Fucking for real.
Who do we get to produce us? We need a producer.
Fucking anybody.
What's Kenzie doing?
Nothing.
There you go, right there.
We just need somebody to fucking come up with ideas.
No, we got ideas.
Yeah, there's too many movies to watch. That's not.
We just don't have a lot of time or communication skills, but that's not.
Yeah, holidays is not good for the cult of horror.
Yeah, they really are not, for sure. What are you going to do? So what's been up with y'all in the past, like, fucking month, basically?
Working 60 hours a week.
That is not good, and it probably is not looking good for a lot more episodes coming out, but we're going to do our best.
I bent my pinky toenail backwards until the blood at work the other day. Fucking sucked.
I can tell Eric really cares.
He doesn't care about nothing. He's a nihilist.
I once cut the tip of my thumb off with a grinder, so you can go fuck yourself.
I'd rather do that than fucking bend my toenail backwards. Shit.
A Mary Jane grinder?
No, angle grinder.
Oh, shit.
I knew this kid that fucking dropped it on his leg.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it fucking put a hole in his thigh above his knee, and he's like, someone please take me to the hospital.
Is it good now, or no, he's dead.
I don't know. He's a piece of shit. He deserved it. I wish it was his dick.
Damn.
It happened to me at work, and I was just holding it together, and somebody went to go get the manager, and he came over, and he's just like this douchebag. He was like, oh, just fucking super glue it together. Don't be a little bitch. So I stopped holding it together, so the top of my thumb just like flapped over and stuck it in his face, and he just was like, oh, you're not so tough now, huh, bitch?
I cry about it, motherfucker.
Yeah, he was like, oh, yeah, you should go to the hospital. Oh,
I was like, remember in a high school and someone had fucked themselves up in wood shop and you'd just be in class and then you just see this and this kid just like runs past the door screaming and then like you get a second and then there's like a couple of like teachers behind him and just like, okay.
I love the sound effects.
Yeah, later you hear, oh yeah, Matt cut his fucking finger off in wood shop.
It would be Matt too.
Fucking Matt's cut themselves.
Randy never had this problem, but Matt's do.
Well, fucking Randy and Kyle's, and they know their ways around. And, fucking
yeah, they're carpenters. Yeah. Born carpenters, baby. So,
just like Jesus.
Just like the Lord.
Speaking of the Lord, when's our new band practice?
That's a great question.
This is going to have to be a post-COVID band.
Look, yeah, that's everything. We got a couple of those lined up.
We're getting worse with the COVID.
Everybody's going for broke because someone said that there's a vaccine. So everybody's like, I'm going to have a vaccine. I'm just going to go out here and lick park benches.
No shit. I'm going to party. I'm going to party hard, and I'm going to kill my entire family. That's what's going to happen. So, Eric, you never even told us. How did your Thanksgiving go, like, with your sister coming down?
Oh, that fucking...
It was fine. I mean, she masked up and stayed away from everybody.
Goddamn right.
Yeah. So it was like a social distancing thing. So it worked out okay.
Oh, that's good.
Was that worth the flight for her?
I don't think she gives a shit. My dad paid for it.
Oh, well, there you go. Fucking... Yeah, she doesn't give a fuck about nothing. If they died, she'd be like, oh, well, thanks, daddy.
Thanks, dad.
You guys get COVID? Like, can I fucking totally dibs on this couch?
So this is like my house now, right?
Right. How do I get the dead people stink out once you guys fucking die? Is there a place you call, or do I just like Febreze?
That is very relevant with the movie that we're talking about today. But yes.
What are we talking about?
The Grim Ghost in the Darkness.
Yeah, The Ghost in the Darkness.
It's about like these two killer tigers.
It dances with wolves.
Oh, so the lion. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got you. The lion.
The Witch in the Wardrobe. Exactly.
And Val Kilmer. I got you.
And then Val Kilmer had to like fight these cowboys at the OK Corral, and then like some tigers and lions and a bear showed up.
Is that the one where he's suffering from a consumption?
Yeah,
that's a good
consumption.
Consumption
and
come something.
And then like Dorothy shows up, and she's got these like red slippers, and then like everybody's like, "Oh, that's scary," and it was a good movie.
We could so write a movie.
I should probably take this mask off.
Yes. I would say you should take that mask off. What fucking mask is that anyway?
I bought it at the thrift store for 10 cents. It's like one of those like transparent with like clown painting on it.
Like a Alice Sweet Alice mask?
Oh, actually, yeah, that's what it is.
Kind of like overdone makeup.
Yeah,
it's that style. But it's instead of like being like done up like makeup, it's a clown.
Oh, okay.
Clown makeup. Yeah,
I got a clown makeup one like that.
That's pretty.
We could all wear it and be in a gang.
Fuck. All right. Okay. So, what do we got? Eric, say the thing with the news.
I was like, dude, you're just gonna cut me off?
No,
motherfucker. You motherfuckers got any news, bitch?
I got update on the Five Nights at Freddy's movie from the Blumpy House. After being stuck in a screenplay hell where, you know, they kept throwing out the scripts because they suck so bad, I guess they finally narrowed one down, which is kind of an amalgamation of all the scripts. And they start filming this spring. And people not familiar with the Five Nights at Freddy, it's kind of like a Showbiz Pizza, Chuck E. Cheese type scenario where I guess the animatronics run amok and kill people, which we've already seen in the Banana Splits. And we talked about last time that Nick Cage movie that's coming out. So that's kind of super popular right now. So I think their production troubles have cost them because now they're last in line for an already oversaturated market.
Yeah, that's very true. Did y'all see the Banana Splits?
No.
It was about as you would expect, like a mid-level, like just zany, like animatronic gore fest. So, I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah, I'm expecting that Nick Cage one to be probably the winner out of these.
The better of the all of them. Oh, Peter Dinklage.
Oh, the Dink, yeah.
He's the Dinkster. He's going to be in the new Toxic Avengers movie.
Is he?
I'm hyped about that.
Is he actually going to be Toxie?
Going to be a bag, probably be a bad guy or some shit.
Probably.
That ain't horror news.
Toxic Avengers horror?
That is porn.
I mean... Now we're just splitting hairs. But, okay, so that's...
He is going to be Toxie.
Oh.
Is he?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That is going to be interesting.
I don't know, dude. He's got, like, these fucking powerful eyes.
Oh, he's a great actor in general. Oh,
without a doubt. But, like, his eyes are fucking piercing, dude. Like,
yeah, he does. He's got some pretty blue boys.
I could see that, like, him playing the Toxic Avenger.
I can't
but
right
it's
now.
Like, are they going to make him, like, huge, or...
Maybe he's like the before, and then, like, he voices, like, a computer-animated Toxie, or...
That is a good point.
Probably a good guess of what they're going to do.
They should do that. I'd watch it.
He probably gets bullied for being small, and then he turns into a gigantic monster.
But he's also kind of old to be playing a before Toxie.
Yeah...
They're going to go off the original storyline.
Yeah.
Which we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know nothing about nothing.
I don't know shit.
I know. I know. I don't know. No. But
I just took a shower, and good Lord, is there no better feeling than a freshly clean butthole? I'm just enjoying it right now.
God bless it, everyone. Every clean butthole.
Every clean butthole. Damn. The trick is to use a tongue scraper.
What the fuck? Tell me about how that would work. Explain to me the process.
How would it not work? I mean, you got to lather up first. Otherwise, it hurts real bad. But once you lather it up, you get a little bit of lubrication as you scrape. It gets pink, pretty clean.
Oh, my God.
If you ain't using a dried loofah, you ain't living.
Some of us are trying to keep our buttholes nice, not trying to destroy them.
Some of us have had a long life marked by a horrible IBS, and our buttholes are basically calamari made out of sandpaper. So you have to buff it down and then get a pummel stone, buff that out.
So you're basically like an old ship trying to scrape the barnacles off its hull?
Fucking A.
Barnacle hole.
Also in news, a new movie with Channing Tatum is announced.
Channing Tatum.
He's teaming up with the directors of 21 Jump Street and is going to be playing a Universal Monster type inspired movie. This kind of tongue-in-cheek horror thriller comedy.
Horror Mike, the slasher stripper.
They're not announcing like what monster he's gonna be because I guess they want to surprise that shit. But basically, this is the stupidest fucking news I've heard, and I don't give a shit about any of it. It's gonna suck. But I'm guessing since it's Channing, it's they're not gonna cover up that face, so it's probably gonna be something like Frankenstein or some bullshit like that as far as Universal monster.
Gonna be definitely a killer stripper.
I hope so.
Killer male stripper.
That's some terrible, terrible, extremely lackluster news out of the Channing Tatum camp. Also,
give me some more fucking news!
A Serbian film.
Oh, no.
Is getting an uncut 4K Blu-ray release January 19th of 2021. People not familiar with that, that is an awful movie where a man...
Whoa, spoilers.
Hey, I don't know.
Spoiler.
Do not give a shit. I don't give a shit. I haven't seen the movie and I know that happens. So,
yeah, you don't
know. This movie precedes itself. Anyways, it's one of probably the nastiest fucked up movies ever made. It's banned in a lot of places and a lot of people condemn it for the sake of existing.
A lot of reasons.
I actually thought that other unearthed movie, is it called Trauma? It's a Mexican movie.
Yeah, that I know which one you're talking about. It's supposed to be like super fucked up.
Trauma's the studio making the new Peter Dinklage Toxic Avenger movies.
That's Trauma. I got it in here somewhere. I bought the movie.
Yeah, jerk off.
Yeah, I bought it from the Unearthed stand at Texas Frightmare, and I regret watching that movie. And I think that movie was way worse than a Serbian film.
Really?
It's just awkward and fucking disgusting to be disgusting and it's way out fucking gory, disgusting, gross fest. But definitely you should watch it.
You ever watched you ever watched Salo?
Oh yeah.
That movie's the worst movie I've ever seen in my life as far as never watching it again. No, nobody watched that movie. I shouldn't even have brought it up, but
PTSD hits him.
Oh my God, man. And it's one of those movies, man. No, I'm done. I'm not talking about it. Let's change the subject.
I think every hardcore horror fan goes through that stage of watching the filth, shocker gore movies.
Yeah. Just, you want to dive into that, the lower threshold of human just disgustingness.
Yeah, and it's just you just end up hating yourself after.
Literally, yes. Every few years I go on a binge of all right, what's the most fucked up movie I can watch? And then I'll find more, and then I'll be okay, I don't feel any better about watching any of these.
Unearthed film, basically.
Yeah.
Is that all the fucking news you got?
Last bit of news, Felissa Rose, star of the Sleepaway Camps. Speaking of disgusting movies that I never want to watch again. She is now starring in another camp slasher movie called Bloody Summer Camp, which is set in the 80s. It's going to be a slasher throwback flick where it's basically going to be a bunch of counselors at a summer camp getting murdered.
That's a pretty new concept.
Yeah. And that's also coming at the tail end of a lot of probably tongue-in-cheek slasher 80s throwbacks like we already discussed.
Yeah, it's coming back. So, pretty Pretty hard. Oh, and apparently, I think Felissa Rose actually said that they're going to be, like, returning to the Sleepaway Camp franchise.
I don't know.
Camp Twilight? Camp Twilight?
Arawak.
Camp Onawana, we hold you in our heart.
Yeah,
when I think about you, it makes me want to fart. So I hope we never part. Get it right or pay the price.
I missed that fucking show.
I'm too young.
He's too young for that.
Salute Your Shorts. Oh yeah, it was back in the early 90s.
Fucking Donkey Lips.
Oh, man. Fucking Donkey Lips.
Fucking.
He has no idea. That's so fucked up. He has no idea, dude.
He was the chubby, like, funny character with, like, a really, really bad lisp, and they called him Donkey Lips because he talks like this.
Yeah.
There was some stars in there though.
That redhead kid from Terminator 2.
Yeah, and that was pretty much it.
Yep. And that's also it for news, because I'm working and I don't have not been paid attention to anything.
I got a couple things. Right. These are actually follow-ups.
I thought I was the dad of this show.
You are.
Hunter's creepy uncle. Sit on my lap, I'll give you a quarter. I'm Hunter.
Well, this went into a direction.
That was a direction for sure.
Oh, my God. So 37 years in the making. The sequel to Grizzly 2, The Revenge. Remember we talked about that a few months back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's being unleashed on us in January.
Tight.
That is the movie that was filmed like in 1980-something and features George Clooney, Laura Dern, and Charlie Sheen, and involves a 15-foot fake grizzly. So yeah, it's a movie that's coming out that people are curious to see that has just been sitting on a shelf somewhere. And that'll be coming out to apparently theaters and VOD on January 8th of 2021.
Speaking of theaters and VOD, you guys did hear the big news from Warner Brothers, right?
I did.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one, actually.
So Warner Brothers just recently stated that all of their 2021 films will be released on HBO Max.
Wow.
I mean, that's a bombshell. That's including the new Matrix movie, the new Conjuring movie, Godzilla versus Kong, the new Dune movie, which has been getting like...
That's going to be on fucking...
That's going to be, yeah.
That's so crazy.
The new Mortal Kombat movie, is that still with James Wan? I don't know. I remember James Wan was going to be a part of it, but I don't know anymore. But if it is, I'm looking forward to it. One of the discussions that I started with that, with a group of friends, you know, they were like saying how this is going to be the end of theaters. And I'm just like, I think it's going to end up being the opposite.
Well, yeah, there's still people who want to like see things in theaters. You're not going to have like a fucking experience.
Well, I think this will like bring back like that nostalgic feeling of wanting to go to theaters. Being stuck quarantined or, you know, asked not to be going to places as much as you normally would. Watching all these new movies at home, I think a lot of people are going to, it's going to make them miss theaters even more.
I already did. And currently.
Yeah. And I think 2022, we're going to see a big boom in theaters again.
Yeah. I really don't think this is bad for theaters.
I think short term wise it is, but I think in the long game, it's going to pay off for theaters.
There's so many movies that are going to get released like on TV and on like VOD and stuff that you can retroactively like go back and like play, you know, movies. They just have, the theaters just have to get creative, you know, like with how to do it and how to get people in, get those butts in the seats, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, they were already going, you know, I thought it was a good step forward when you said it started having the dine-in theaters.
Yeah.
And having the loungers and all that. It was at the point where if I wasn't watching a movie, you know, in a lounger, then I didn't want to go to that theater. Like,
exactly. I remember when we first started this thing, like when we were trying to go see a movie together, you would be like, oh, no, I don't like their chairs. Yeah.
Yeah. If I have the option of a fucking climate controlled chair, fucking lounger, then that's how I want to watch my fucking movie.
Especially if it's the same price.
Yeah, exactly.
This is kind of a side note, but and it's also kind of a throwback to something we discussed a lot, but A24's Saint Maud is coming to UK DVD and Blu-ray in February. There's still no US release date at all.
Nobody gives a fuck about us is what it is.
That's what I'm hearing, which doesn't make any sense because it's, I mean, this is going to be the perfect like audience for it.
What I honestly think it's about is that...
Do you think it just sucks?
No, I think it's more about they already know that Britain is going to keep having lockdowns and restrictions, And in the U.S., like, there's a big push for people that, like, just don't give a fuck anymore about COVID. So they're just, like, pushing to reopen everything. So I think they're banking on that, that they're still going to be able to get money off of movie theater tickets.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it was already released in theaters over in, you know, Europe.
Yeah.
It's already, like, gone through the whole normal schedule in the U.K. And so now we don't even have it yet, though. The U.S. has nothing. We don't even have it for digital.
All I hear is a bunch of white privilege whining about a fucking movie.
Well, that's what this whole podcast is.
That you're just going to steal anyways.
So listen,
this is the cult of white privilege.
The cult of privilege. Welcome to the cult of privilege. Oh, this is stupid, but Zach Baggins. Zach Baggins?
Douche Baggins.
Yeah. Douche Baggins. He's investigating the infamous Cecil Hotel in a 2-hour special for Discovery Plus. And he is just really trying to keep the ghost adventures alive. Because remember, around Halloween time, he did the same thing with the GW Zoo. I didn't watch it because why the fuck would I?
Because I've got taste.
The only other thing that I want to talk about, and we're probably going to get to it eventually, anything for Jackson.
Anything for Salinas?
Anything for Kevin or something like that?
We need to talk about Kevin.
No, basically.
It's Patrick. Anything for Patrick, I think.
That's what it is. It's getting a lot of buzz. Everybody's talking about it. So I think we're going to end up reviewing that bad boy soon. It seems to be about a satanic couple who kidnaps a pregnant mother and her baby. And apparently it's crazy.
It's a reverse exorcism.
Is it?
I think that's what I got from it, yeah.
Pretty cool.
So it's almost like Eli. Was that movie?
Oh, yeah.
That one. So it's probably Eli, but like good.
Yeah, because like, man.
It was just anger-inducing because it had potential.
Man, I don't want to talk about Eli ever again in my life.
How my parents feel about me.
Oh, my fucking God.
He had so much potential. He's a fucking failure. He has a stupid podcast with his friends about movies nobody gives a fuck about.
No shit.
And he can't even do that well. So fucking nobody.
You're fucking nobody. You're always going to be a nobody. This is not even really news, but this is something that kind of crept up and like people are wanting us to talk about it. I've had several people actually be like, oh, hey, have you talked about this yet? This movie is something that's like had a TikTok resurgence. Like somebody was like, this is the most fucked up movie you've ever seen.
Don't say Megan is.
I'm not going to say it because you already did.
Mother
fucker. So
no, don't say that.
So Megan is Missing blew up on TikTok because of some fucking TikTok where somebody was like, this is the most fucked up movie I've ever seen. So now everybody is trying to find it. And it's hard to find anyway. It's like it was very difficult the movie to find. And I watched it a while ago and it's definitely not the most fucked up movie I've ever seen. It's getting a lot of buzz and I don't really feel like it deserves it. If you're really trying to look up for a fucked up movie, like actually look for one. Instead of just getting like one recommendation on TikTok.
It's not that good.
It's really not. Like I would rate it like a 5 because the movie sucks until it gets to like the very end. And then it's like a, what the fuck, you know, there's probably about like 15, 20 minutes of good. What the fuck moment, which is not too bad, but I don't know. There's better movies out there. It's a poorly made movie. I'll tell you that. That's about it. That's about all I have for news. Nothing else, Elliot, right?
No.
No. That was news, bitches. You motherfuckers like horror movies?
Yeah,
they're all right.
Do you like horror movies about basically the wind?
Yeah, I thought of the wind when I saw this. I was like, dude, this could just be a sequel to the wind.
No, this was an episode of Supernatural.
Honestly, it was a lot of everything. So this week we are going to review the new film by Brian Bertino.
Brian Boitano, the figure skater?
Yep. The one and the same.
Tight.
I know. He triple axled his way into our hearts and now onto the screen. Mm. So essentially, Brian Bertino is the director and writer of The Strangers. He also is behind the movie The Monster, which Eric and I really like, and I highly recommend if you haven't seen it. I think it's still on Netflix. I
fucking hated The Monster.
You're wrong.
Yeah, because
I love that movie.
Yeah.
When you reveal a monster of a movie called Monster, and somebody throws a boglin out there, or those little like rubber like finger puppet, you know, monsters that you can get during Halloween for like a quarter. Like, that just kind of ruins the movie.
Nope.
You're on thin ice already, sir. I suggest you reserve your negative comments.
Strangers is cool. Monsters is a fucking joke. Nobody watched The Monster ever.
I'm dying on that hill. Like, I love that movie.
You would. But your credibility in movies has already been compromised. Fuck you guys.
You can all burn to hell. You can all burn to hell and die. I don't care.
All right, so back to fucking this movie.
Sleepwalkers is stupid. Hey, Sleepwalkers is like the fucking coolest fucking thing ever. Fuck us up.
Sleepwalkers is fucking stupid. So Brian Bertino's new movie, The Dark and the Wicked, it's been getting a lot of like buzz in like the horror community for being like a really creepy and unsettling movie.
The word is bleak. Yeah. Look up the word bleak in the dictionary. There's a picture of this fucking movie.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, that's kind of the deal of it. It's kind of like a supernatural movie, and it's one of those where I think this is his first time like actually diving into an actual supernatural content. I was kind of interested to see how he would do this.
Plot summary. On a secluded farm in a nondescript rural town, Texas, a man is slowly dying. His family gathers to mourn, and soon a darkness grows marked by waking nightmares and a growing sense that something evil has taken over the family.
God bless.
The Dark and the Wicked follows two siblings who are summoned back to their family farm to await inevitably of their father's death. What initially appears to be a timeless ritual of loss and remembrance turns out to be something very different. The Dark and the Wicked, 2020, written and directed by Brian Bertine.
Brian Wu-Tang ain't nothing to fuck with.
Nah, protect your neck.
A better description of the movie.
Yeah. Anything.
Brother and sister going back to your farm ranch rural home in Granbury, Texas.
You know, Granbury.
Bet you $1 million it's in the Granbury.
I spent my childhood in Granbury. Ain't no Granbury looking like that.
So they're in fucking Texas, even though I'll tell you.
Yeah, they're in Thurber, Texas.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, they said it one fucking time.
It's Granbury. Anyways, brother and sister go back home to essentially be by their father's side in his final days. The dad is comatose. Mother is having a hard time with it. Kind of give you a little backstory and let you know that the brother and sister haven't been there in a long time. So they don't communicate very well. They're no longer close. Kind of let you know that they've, you know, for lack of a better word, abandoned their family.
Yeah.
Basically, they're both ridden with guilt, feeling terrible of what they've, you know, the time that they could have spent with their family, and now they can't even communicate with the father who's in a coma. And everything starts going to shit. The mother, she's, you know, obviously really fucked up. She's not acting like what they remember her to act like. She immediately is like, I told you not to come. Don't be here. Keeps telling them over and over again, you shouldn't be here. You need to leave. Without spoiling it, things start to happen. You start noticing that there is a supernatural force involved in everything. And the movie just kind of hits you with one devastating blow after another.
It's fucking true.
And now we're going into spoiler territory.
Yeah, I'd actually just people across the board just watch this movie before listening to the rest of this podcast, because
it's almost impossible to talk about it without completely giving it away.
You know, do yourself a favor, because I like this movie. It's a good movie. It's better when you don't know what the fuck's around the corner.
Yeah.
I gotta say, this movie felt like an A24 movie without the pretentiousness.
Yeah. I could see that. I could really see that, actually. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, right away, how fucked up was that finger cutting scene?
Oh, dude.
Jesus.
So what I love about that scene, like, okay, you hear a bump, right? Like, because they set the movie up with the creepiness where the mother is just cutting in the kitchen. And a chair moves and you hear the noise and whatever. And then she turns around. There's nobody there. The chair has just moved. And then later on, her kids are there now. She's cutting and all that. And then you hear the noise again. And so you know something's behind her. And normally the camera would cut to where, you know, she turns around and there's something behind her, or maybe they'll show a shot behind her and you see the figure or something like that. But they don't do that. They let you stew on that dread. And then most of the time, whenever you hear something that's like really creepy in real life and you're scared, you don't fucking want to turn around. You don't want to realize what it is, if it is anything.
The way this movie played out was less like a play type movie and more of like you're witnessing the events happening, and it's not overplayed. All the characters are played very realistic. And in that scene, you know, she knows what's going on. She's aware of the entity that's around them. And at that moment, she just gave up.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing I can do.
Like, she cut her fingers and that was it.
She just lost it and then started dicing up the pieces of fingers.
Yeah, I haven't seen that before. I've seen, like, maybe, like, one or two chops, but she, like, fucking minced those fucking fingers.
Yeah, when she cut through her four fingers, I was just like, oh, this just cringed, you know? Mm-hmm. And usually in a normal movie or every other movie, that would be the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
No, they stayed focused on it, and she's just like, fuck these fingers. Like, it was giving her some kind of satisfaction knowing that she was in control at that moment.
Well, I didn't even get that vibe, but I got the vibe of just like complete like
give up in this.
Really, it doesn't even go into like really what the devil or whatever the entity wants or anything. Like, it's assumed that it's the husband's soul, but it's not really incredibly clear. The movie's so bleak, you can't even really tell if there's even a real purpose.
That is one of the things that I liked about this movie. It was similar to Strangers.
Yeah.
In that you don't know why any of this happened.
Right.
I mean, you can make assumptions, but there is no clear explanation of any reasoning behind any of the stuff that's happening.
Exactly. Also, before I forget, I'm sure Elliot's going to talk about this too, but the movie was shot beautifully, like very crisp, but also very like lush. Like all the colors were very like kind of similar to The Strangers, actually.
Yeah.
Like it was.
Everything was very warm.
Yeah, everything was dark.
Correct.
You know, like they filmed the darkness very well and with the contrasting lighting. What I liked about this is it was similar, but you could tell it's a very different style of what they're going for. Like in The Strangers, it's all about the still shots and then like the people themselves moving through the shot. And you're just like stuck in this scene. This one, it's all about devilishly slow panning of shots and then also slow zooming to really build that dread, which again reminds me of The Wind, because they did a very similar thing with The Wind.
Yeah, this movie is just, it's just like a series like push-ins and pull-outs of yeah. What's going on. And I think The Strangers, like shooting in a house, I think he learned a lot from how you can like set up all these like nice shots within this like house. And like, and this house is pretty fucking cool. I mean, it's like rural and it's kind of like a shitty house, but at the same time, it's not. I mean, it's like weird because they have like pillars that are just like tree trunks and like all the wood is just like raw wood. Porch is kind of twisted up like tree limbs that are all like dried out. So this house is like pretty fucking cool. It's got like the chicken wallpaper on the wall. And so, yeah. I mean, it's really believable because like nothing's new, nothing's flashy. It's just like old used stuff. And so it's very believable. And you put these people in there and they got that like, you know, nasty yellow light and stuff like that. And so it puts you in a mood, and, you know, the house kind of being literally textured that much kind of like, you know, gives you a lot of shadows and stuff to play with. And going back to like the finger cutting scene kind of gets me into some of the things that I don't like about this movie, but we can do that later. You know, we saw that in this year's The Grudge with you know, the old lady like flipping out and cutting her fingers off. And then it kind of like, this movie was everything The Grudge wishes it was, with like the yellow lights and the saturation and
agreed,
like the tone and like just being stalked by something paranormal and, you know, people cutting out their fingers. But The Grudge just sucks so fucking hard. It's kind of funny to think of, you know, what if this is just a big middle finger to The Grudge for sucking so hard?
Oh my God.
Because a lot of stuff was taken like from the Grudge. You have like, you know, a lot of things that, you know, you could draw a parallel to. I know, I get, you know, granted they probably had nothing to do with each other, but it's fucking funny because it just makes The Grudge look that much more terrible when like an actual good director and writers are like, hey, hold my beer.
Yeah, it really took kind of bits and pieces of a lot of themes that we've seen a lot this year and like last year. You know, obviously The Wind, duh, but like that's such a like minor movie, you know, like that kind of just came up out of nowhere. But also it has the very similar themes to like Relic and other movies like that, like the whole like setup plot, you know, protecting your family and feeling the guilt of like not being around your family in their time of need.
I mean, his house that we just did.
That's what, yeah, exactly. Draws from that to like, it's very similar. I honestly feel like it's so close to The Wind, not only because of the way it's shot, but even the fucking demon possessed people look very similar to The Wind.
Also, like the demon posing as a priest, so came up in The Wind.
That's true too.
Mm-hmm.
And but the Wind did a lot of good stuff. In fact, they did some things that I liked better than this movie. But yeah, the priest in this movie, it was like Poltergeist level of like creepiness.
The Wind couldn't touch the amount of like dread and creep and like chill that this movie was giving off.
Right. And that's the only fault of The Wind, I feel like, because if they could achieve that level, it would be a film, a movie that people are talking about more. But now this one's going to overshadow it.
Yeah,
it's going to.
I'm just
going to
keep it as a sequel in my head.
Well, that one actually had an explanation to everything. This didn't.
Yeah.
Going back to the camera work, it felt very much like you're mounting a camera on yourself and you're kind of scanning and panning, and the way you zoom in, you know, you focus your eyes. It kind of made you feel like you were in the movie and observing everything.
For sure.
Which I really liked and kind of added to the sense of dread.
Yeah, that's a good point, because like, especially in the dark, because that's what you do. Like, you don't realize that you're doing it, but when you're trying to focus and really try to make out an image, like that's what you're doing. It's zooming or dilating to that.
Yeah, it's like most movies, you're on the outside looking in. With this movie, you're inside of it looking inside.
Yeah. A little bit going back to like how it borrows from a lot of different things. It's Hereditary. The naked old people.
Yeah, the exploitation we're talking about.
Exactly. There's just so many common themes. That part was kind of disappointing. I had a vibe that I was like, oh, this is going to be entirely fully new. When it did do something different. I mean, like, I haven't felt actual like dread like this since like Hereditary.
It's a different kind of than Hereditary. Like Hereditary, you just, it's like more of like an awkward, silent screaming. And then like this one's more of just like a deep fear.
Since the scene of the mother's suicide, it fucking grabs you and just doesn't let go. You just, at that point, I don't know about y'all, but I just like felt like shit. Like as soon as that happened, I was just like, fuck this movie.
I knew the mother was going to kill herself because I watched the trailer. So I, when it happened, I didn't really feel much.
Well, it wasn't so much the act itself. It was how it was done. And how they acted around it.
Well, I think this is exactly what you're saying, but like I like the fact that they stayed on the after. They literally, the act of finding the mother, they did not cut from that shot. They find the mother, they're freaking out, they're like, get her down, like as if she's still alive, you know?
Yeah, they're definitely trying. The daughter finds her, she's picking up her weight to try to get the weight off the rope. The brother comes and takes over, and she goes and grabs a stool or something to be able to get up to the rope. And the brother pulls out his pocket knife, and even afterwards, he's like on top of her trying to like, it almost seems like he's trying to resuscitate her.
Yeah, and she drops the knife.
It's one of those things in movies you always wonder, like, if somebody's hanging themselves, the mechanics of cutting them down, and then, like, the dead weight. Like, stuff like that, like, really makes it more impactful. Like, that part stuck with me way more than actually, like, them. Like, if they would have found her dead and then cut and then went, you know, to them sitting in the kitchen table just like, well, what are we going to do now? Mom's dead.
Yeah, as impactful.
Exactly. It's showing the sides that you never get to see, which is one of the things that, besides the original style, because I really do feel like the dread here is pretty original. The fact that they're showing all of these like worst parts, it's almost like the same things that I like about Relic. The main focus is those moments where you're taking care of your relatives and you have those moments of guilt and you know, sorrow. And in this, it's like as if you were observing it yourself, like you said, Eric.
Yeah.
If you were there, like having to watch a brother and a sister cut down their mother from a fucking noose. Like, and the more I think back on it, it gives me like kind of like a chill.
I was having a good time. It was good. I was enjoying it. Like when Eric is like, you know, like once the mother kills herself and like, things are going, like I kind of got excited because I was like, man, I'm liking this movie. I was like, please don't fuck it up. And then it just kept getting like, what he said, bleaker and darker and bleaker and just like fucking so bad. Like it's like the worse this movie got, the more like giddy I kind of got inside because it was like, oh shit, this movie's delivering.
After the suicide of the mother, more and more suicides start going on. Other characters are killing themselves, and it's whatever evil entity or, you know, spirit or whatever is behind all this is making people kill themselves, kind of like in the style of The Happening.
Yeah.
Okay. Where it like, you know, it doesn't necessarily possess them, but forces them into a position of killing themselves to escape. In a couple of them, they do actually get possessed, but it's like tricking them into killing themselves. And that's kind of how the brother killing himself scene, that was fucked up. That one got to me. I was just like, fuck.
I've always wondered why they never tried to do that in a movie. Because, you know, like, he basically fucking dips, just ducks out of the whole situation. Just, he's like, I'm done. It's over. And then he goes home to his family, and, you know, he walks in, and his entire family is dead on the kitchen table, which is a fucking great scene that kind of gives me a little bit of a callback to The Lodge, the scene with Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Elliot just, like, was like, oh, yeah. Because just dead, full-on face, dead kids. He sees that. And the act of him with a pocket knife slitting his own throat was so realistic to me. He already, like, went through, like, the craziest time of his life, and this is, like, him escaping. When you go and you only have one thing on your mind, this is the only thing they're going to be living for, and you see it in front of you and it's gone, the only thing that in your mind could be self-termination, right? Like, if you don't have anything else. So, like, he sits there for maybe a good 2 minutes, if that.
In the conversation that he has with his sister, he's like, this isn't my life. Like, this is, like, my life is my wife and my two kids. Like, he completely abandons the whole situation with his family back home with his parents. And he's kind of like, that's done. That's over with. I need to focus on what I actually still have. And this is my whole world.
And on the other side of that, too, on this, it's equally as bleak, because the sister is like, she has nothing. She has no family, nobody else to go to. Yeah. He is her family. He's the only thing that she has left. And he is basically saying, fuck you. And so she's realizing that she has nobody.
Yeah, because she's flipping out, like, you're leaving me, like, I have nothing and you can't do this to me. But to him, he's like, you haven't been in my life for years, so why would I even bother worrying about you now?
You know, like, you know it's fucked up, but it's almost like if you would have been driven insane by this thing that is stalking you and showing you very real things and, like, really toying with you, you're going to lose your fucking mind and you're not going to be thinking rationally, or you're going to be thinking very rationally, kind of something that Elliot was alluding to a couple episodes ago with his house. When it comes down to it, it is just your family. It is, like, just the one thing that you care about. You're going to pick that thing. That's what he's doing. And you really can't blame him for that. But at the same time, you know, you want to.
Yeah.
But going back to it real quick, the fact that he slits his throat in the kitchen and then bam, they're not even dead. Like, they turn it on its head, but then turn it on its head again.
Yeah, he, like, slits his throat, starts kind of choking on his own blood, sits down back against the wall, looks over to look at his dead children, and they're not there anymore.
Yeah. The look on his face is just priceless.
I mean, it was an aha moment, but you're just like, fuck.
He's literally, like, 90% dead at that point. Yeah. And then his face kind of, like, stays that way.
Again, like, when the mother killed herself, they show the family walk in and find him dead. They don't just end it there. They let you continue wallowing in the fucking pain, and it really drives the fucking tension home.
It does. The only thing I would have liked more on that scene,
the kids seeing it.
Yeah, like, because like, she finds it and she's
scary.
But I also like that the mom screamed so fucking loud, but then you get a brief, like, a really, like, quick, like, a shrillness to the scream, and then it just fades so hard into the next scene, and it's like the director being like, yeah, I know, but we're gonna go back over here.
Like the little girl should have ran in and slipped on his blood.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been tight.
Everybody did their part, just very well acted, very well written, directed and shot. And I could have used a little bit more techno music. There wasn't any. I mean, there are some negatives, which we can get in.
Yeah, I got one more good positive.
I got a couple too.
No, we're going
the Foley work in this movie, it seemed like, was, like, cranked up in the mix. Did anybody else, like, notice, like, how, like, ASMR, like, everything was?
Yes.
Not really.
It was like every, like, just like the creaking when they were walking around and just, like, things jingling and, like, the moans and shit. Like, everything was just, like, cranked up. And like, there's,
I don't remember what scene it was, but there's a scene where the brother, like, throws his jacket, and you hear every single fucking thing of that jacket landing.
Yeah, I mean, like, everything's just, like, they drink the beer, you can hear the gulp, you can hear the liquid in it. Like, everything's, like, on 11 on that shit, and that was pretty cool, because that also leads to this, like, the thick, thick atmosphere this thing's laying down. I mean, like, the sound design of just, like, the moans and, like, the cries and, like, the fucking, when, like, she's laying in bed with her father and the wicked comes in and it's, like, breathing like an animal where it's just, like, hard exhales. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
They do the Exorcist thing where it's literally samples of like pigs and like cows and stuff. It's like,
it's weird fucking moaning. It's like layered cries and moans and screams. And then it's kind of like animal breathing.
I thought it was a wolf.
It's like all that shit, dude. And like the speakers start going like back and forth and like where it jumps from left to right on the speakers.
You get faint sounds of everything to where it coalesces into a really trippy noise.
I mean, especially when the caretaker dude's like, when his suicide scene, when he sees like the girl standing there, like cutting herself, that's got like a lot of fucking noises going on.
Oh, dude, I love
she's
that.
She's all like and weird. Oh. Like,
you could hear the cuts.
Yeah, and like she's like mumbling, but it's that mouth, her mouth is not matching what's coming out.
Yeah. But what I love about that scene is like the way she's moving.
Oh, yeah. They went full Japanese horror and that stuff.
Yeah. That's one thing I wish they were was more of, stuff like that.
The Stir of Echoes that we talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It's just like the girl from Stir of Echoes.
Yeah.
Endures today.
Shit.
One of the world's greatest movies. Hands down, hands up, wherever you want to put them, that movie is fucking top notch.
God bless them. Just one more thing that I really enjoyed, they did so many things well, but the girl that was supposed to be the guy that shot himself's relative.
Yeah.
That scene had me. Whenever she comes up and she's just like, yeah, my granddad, he died. We thought you should know. And then like she invited her inside. And then it kind of made me think like, oh no, the sister's the one who's gonna start getting possessed or whatever and can turn on this girl. And then nope. The girl had the creepiest fucking like Rosemary's Baby smile ever.
How well did she play that?
So fucking well. Too well.
So well, dude. Like, she fucking nailed it. Her character, more than anyone else in that movie, gave me the fucking creeps.
Absolutely.
How they just, like, psych you out because she's like, come in. And then the girl's just, like, really hesitant. And she's like, do you need help?
Yeah.
Are you okay? And it completely throws you off that she's not that actual little girl. She's the fucking devil.
Yeah. Whatever. It kind of alluded to the fact that, oh shit, something's going to happen to where the little girl's going to get hurt inside by the sister because she's been there for like a week now. Maybe it's possessing her. I don't know, man. They really did a couple of really good 180s. And I even saw the trailer where she was like, he's here, I can smell him. But I didn't realize she was talking about her dad rotting, which is so fucking much creepier. So that there was that scene. And then also I thought it was really kind of sick where the nurse just like stabs herself in the eyes and then she has like this crazy like crying like Mother of Mary kind of deal going on and she just like looks to the sky for a second and just smiling, kind of just nuts, bonkers. So I guess we'll get into the neggies.
Number one, lack of nudity.
The movie doesn't need fucking nudity.
No, yes it does. If it's a horror movie, there's got to be lots of nudity.
Forgive Eric, he's a man of the 80s, you know, you got to come
at slack. Least give me some male frontal nudity. You got to hang dong. If you're not going to hang boob, hang dong.
I think that's just fair.
That's my number one gripe with this movie.
She ain't got no nipples. What's up with that?
I think she did, but they were... She didn't. She's old, so I think they were below.
Nipples just disappear?
Yeah, and you get old? They get lower and lower. They turn inside out.
Nipples stay beautiful. Okay.
All nipples are beautiful.
That's the one ageless thing about the body are the nipples.
Not their but, placement.
Oh, God.
There's nudity.
I'm with them on that. I mean, so the thing I didn't like about this movie kind of is that I honestly did not really give that much of a shit about any of the characters. I don't feel like I knew anything about them. I don't feel like I should have cared about them. The only reason that I did was just because the situations were so dense that it kind of elicited that. I don't know if that was intentional, like if they're supposed to be just walking like, you know, shells.
Yeah, the only like likable character was the caretaker for me.
Yeah.
And they just fucking killed him off and he barely understood what the fuck was going on with it.
And that's my other thing is like I couldn't tell the difference between some of the characters. Like the preacher and the caretaker. The caretaker was in it so little that I almost got them confused because they're old white dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, the preacher's a famous actor.
I don't know. He's just an old white dude to me.
And I just thought they like it was a little, it started getting a little muddy and convoluted and like what the fucking actual motive of this fucking thing was. And like what the,
there was none.
What the like, yeah, like, but what, like it acted like it couldn't come inside sometimes, but then it like invited itself inside and then was already inside. And it was just kind of weird on how it acted.
Well, this thing was in complete control the whole time. It was just fucking with everybody.
Yeah.
It was having fun. I mean, what I got from it was that it was here for the father's soul, but, you know, might as well just come and fuck with everybody else and have a little fun. One of the things that I just did not get, she got the phone number from the preacher. And she calls the preacher, and the guy's in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've never been to Texas. And like, he's like, why are you calling me? You sound just like my daughter who killed herself. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah, like that confused me too. I wasn't really clear on that.
It was like, is this an entity that like has been fucking with people and killing people and somehow attached itself to this family? What did the dad do? Because initially what I got from it, what my thought was to begin with, was that maybe the dad sold his soul to the devil or something.
That would be so tight.
And,
if that's
and like now it's back to get him, and it's just like fucking with everybody.
You know, honestly, that would make a lot of sense, but I kind of think it's one of those things that's like meant to be just like kind of kept open. Like I bet this movie has so many little clues maybe we just didn't catch.
Well, granted, like it's the wicked in the form of a preacher, but I mean the preacher priest dude was like talking about shaming them for like leaving the mother out there all alone with like this dying father and stuff like that.
One of the thoughts that I got from it, because the nurse also tried to drive the message home that, you know, how fucked up is it to die alone?
Yeah.
And like the whole point of this is like everybody has to pay for letting the dad die alone, basically. It's almost, to me, I don't think the preacher was the actual preacher. I don't think he was ever really there.
Yeah, no, he wasn't really there.
Yeah, the preacher was that entity. And I think, you know, it was trying to explain why it was fucking with everybody. But I just don't think the preacher himself, like, you know, drove the message home.
Well, that's what I said. The preacher, but the wicked was the preacher. And the wicked was like, you know, just because you don't believe in the wolf doesn't mean the wolf's not there. Like, he was there the whole time. Like, maybe the mother and she called the wicked there because she was alone, because maybe she didn't know what to do. Maybe she needed help and like was out there just like crying and begging for something and like and invited this thing. Or maybe it just smelled to death. Maybe it's like, you know, in the wind where it's just a demon of the prairie and is just like smelling his death. I'm like the strangers, like I don't need a reason, you know, I'll enjoy the mayhem. But I just wanted a little more like clarity on like what the fuck was going on with the caretaker and like why it's important that he calls, why he's having a hard time at his place. What's up with that? And like, what's up with the nurse? Like,
Yeah. Cause with the caretaker, he's like blowing up their phone, trying to get to them to like save them basically. And it's like, so he knows what's going on. Like,
yeah, that's what I was trying to figure
something
out.
And then like, I don't understand this, the suicide. Like, why? I don't know why he killed himself. I don't know why the brother killed himself. I understand like on the surface, but like,
I think it was with the caretaker was the same with the mom. Like, I think they've been dealing with that thing. Like, I think it's been fucking with them and they both were just, no pun intended, at the end of their rope.
Hey-o.
The pun was intended. And they just had enough. Like it had toyed with them enough. They had no choice but to end it. But I feel like, you know, I could have satisfied if I'd gotten more backstory with the caretaker.
Well, and also like because the brother was saying like, how'd the mom get up there? Like, how'd she even hang herself? So then that kind of leads us to like murder.
Yeah. There's a lot of those little moments where they kind of give you information that has you wondering like, what the fuck's going on?
It was annoying, but it was not a deal breaker. Cause I mean, the brother is all like, when they go to the pet cemeteries type thing and they're just talking, he's like, it's a suicide. It's not going to make sense. She's crazy. It's not going to make sense. Like, none of that's going to make sense. So maybe it doesn't make sense.
And why did it kill the livestock?
I don't know. That was that fucking three-legged goat coming back was fucking sick as shit.
Yeah, that was.
That kind of leads me to like another thing I like is the CGI in this movie was kind of shit.
So bad.
It was so bad.
The CGI really pissed me off.
Yeah, the field of dead goats was terrible. The
fucking spider was terrible.
Oh, the unnecessary fucking spider.
Yeah, like that was cheesy as shit. And like there were times where like somebody would be getting stabbed and then like the cut would be like above where the knife just went in. That kind of took me out of it. But also like what really bummed me out is the entire look of the possessed people or whatever was so corny to me with the white eyes and the veins everywhere.
Yeah.
You could pull that off and shit like Host or like even The Wind.
Supernatural.
Supernatural. And in The Wind, it was kind of a similar look and feel, but I think The Wind paired it better. And maybe that's just me because I'm expecting more from Brian Bertino or whatever.
Boitano.
But I mean, like, I know, Elliot, you said it wasn't a deal breaker or whatever with explanations too, but I feel like it really did take a lot out of it for me.
Did.
Like, it's not a deal breaker, but it's also like really detrimental to like overall liking the film.
When like the shower, when the dad's there and he's trying to do the Jacob ladder, like head shake, and they just fucked it up. Like, how, like they didn't use CGI in the '80s. They just did it. And then like you're using CGI now and you just, how you ruined it. Like, how do you fuck that up?
You're telling me you don't know how to fucking take a shot of an old guy just wagging his fucking head around and then like speed it up? Like, what are you talking about? Like, are you telling me beautiful shots and the beautiful cinematography? You're telling me you can't do that? Just grow up, okay? Just grow up. Do it right.
And he like pisses himself, which is in every movie since It Follows now. I'm just kind of, there's a lot of things that I was just tired of. I was tired of the hexploitation. I was tired of like scary people standing there and then they piss themselves like it's fucking Reagan from The Exorcist. And you're just like, now it's for real. Like now we're you know, cooking with gas piss. Just people pissing themselves to like drive it home that it's like for real is, I'm tired of. I'm tired of old ladies, you know, chopping their fingers. And there's a lot of stuff that was really predictable in this movie, which
that's what I'm talking about.
Led me out of it. I mean, like the brother like killing himself, the mom cutting her fingers off. Like I was just like, okay, just hurry up, do it. Like let's move the fuck on. Especially with the mom cutting her fingers off, they just like pushed the dread. Yeah, she went ape shit and it looked good and it's fucking way better than the shitty ass Grudge or that shitty ass lady who's in all them shitty ass movies.
Lin Shaye.
Fucking hate Lin Shaye.
Oh my god, you fucking.
The Cult of Horror does not agree with any of the comments by Elliot.
I agree. Just like Dread was good and they were just pushing it, but at the same time, it's just like, get it over with because I know that the fuck's gonna happen. You know, she goes ham on it and it's amazing, but I'm just like, do it. And then when the brother gets there and he like kills himself, I don't think that was quite realistic at all. Like the fact that he just grappling with like the whole suicide thing because of the influence of the witched. But the fact that he was just like, all right, here we're going to go. And I was like, I already know that they're not really dead. He's going to do it and he's not going to be there. Then he cuts his throat and it doesn't even look good. And then they come in like 5 seconds later and he's all like blue and shit. And I'm just like, god damn.
Yeah, that did not look realistic at all. But they don't know if it's 5 minutes later. Like, you don't know.
I think it comes down to like the monster. The issue with the monster, which is such a huge deal breaker for me, was just how bad the monster looked. It looked like the thing from Ghostbusters. It was like demon dogs. But if somebody like hit it on the street and like spush the back half.
Oh, the actual monster from the movie The Monster.
Yeah, it looked bad.
I thought you were talking about a monster in this
movie. Oh, no. The Wicked in this one looks like Tyler Durden from Fight Club at the end where he shaves his head and is wearing a fur jacket. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think his problem is Brian Bustianos thing might just be showing the creatures because the monster and monster didn't look good.
I think it looked
and
good.
And then in this one, The Wicked itself, you know, it's just a flash a couple times. So that's forgivable. But then, like the weird looking dad and just like some of the stuff. It's maybe he's just got like a poor sense of like, you know, what that should look like.
But that's like easy to remedy though.
It is. It's like, super easy.
Like, and that's what pisses me off because like, to me, he seems like a guy who is like a DIYer. Like he wants to do everything himself. He wants to write. He wants to direct. He wants all of it in-house because it's his little baby project. But like this movie didn't feel, honestly, this movie kind of felt half-assed in a lot of ways. Because the, like there's glaring issues that are things that like are easy to do, you know, like are easy to actually get right that this one got wrong. But then all the harder stuff, like it almost seemed like he would kind of lost focus on what his goal was. Because I think he really wanted this movie to be like a huge fucking deal, you know, and phoned it in on like the fucking CGI, the makeup, all that stuff. Maybe he did intentionally make it to where you don't really give a shit about the characters themselves. But, like, that's just a weird, I don't know.
Just excels at the atmosphere and, like,
he does
all that stuff and not really, you know, development or.
But he does, though.
I don't know. Yeah, it's like this weird thing. He's like, it's all these fucking amazing shots, but then you can't, like, make an old dude look creepy.
That's the thing. Yeah, you can't make an old dude look creepy. And then, yes or no, Elliot, would you say that in The Monster, at least the characters were developed?
Yeah, like everything was good. The acting was good. And you had like, you know, this whole thing between the mom and the daughter. And then they threw this thing and it was so bad, I guess, to me personally, that it tanked the film. And I just like gave up on it.
My thing about The Monster, though, is it's less about the actual monster in the movie. It's like a movie that's like basically like a fucking drama with like a horror movie in the background.
Yeah, but if you're gonna be playing something so fucking serious and like dealing with all these adult issues and making this like a real movie, do it. When you have like you're gonna introduce a monster and like suspend belief, do something. Don't be throwing a fucking boggling on the goddamn side of the road, killing paramedics. Like, dude, just like, you could fucking do something, like anything, or show nothing. Like, show nothing would have been better in that movie. This movie, the Wicked that they did show, I thought that was perfect amount. And then the fact that it's like coming in this, the guise of all these characters, that's cool. He dialed it back just enough to like, to save himself from himself and his lack of like visual creatures.
Honestly, I don't think he should have shown fucking anything.
Yeah,
I don't want to see him like show me like just a manifestation of just a regular person, and then all the other stuff like have it be supernatural. I just feel like it would have added to the atmosphere overall if there was no monster, like, because that's the feeling that you get. Like, it's one of those things that if you want to make it feel real, because like in real life, if there's something fucking like after you or whatever, you're not gonna see it.
Well,
you're gonna feel it.
I mean, he borrowed so much from so many things, or maybe he's just like, you know, we said earlier, he's late to the show. But I mean, he's like given kind of props. I mean, there's a huge like Nosferatu homage in one sequence, which is kind of cool. I mean, the whole bed's when it comes in, when she's sleeping in the bed with her dad, and like you just see like a shadow of a hand come across the bed, and then you see like a shadow getting on the dad. That was cool. And I even kind of like the preacher when he shows up at like 3 a.m. outside.
I love that. That's one of my favorite scenes.
The white eyes kind of threw me off, but the fact that the mom is in the background in the dark.
I didn't see that.
If you go back, there's the mom, and I'm assuming it's the mom, but it's just there's a figure.
Yeah, there's a few scenes where the mother just shows up in the background.
The focus is on the preacher. And the mom is just a shadow, and it's never acknowledged. They don't cut to her. They don't zoom to her. She never comes into the light. It's just this like black lump that like kind of like fades away into the rest of the yard. But the fact that that was just like chilling there is like fucking kind of cool, and goes back to like the strangers where you have like people going around the house looking, you know, doing stuff. And then like you see like the sackhead dude in the background just kind of like beep, beep. So like he knows what he's doing. He can direct the fuck out of a movie and he can make it look amazing and grounded it in such realism. He could, if he just, I don't know what his problem is.
Yo, what's your fucking problem, guy?
Yeah, Brian, what's up?
The Wicked could fucking just be a vampire at this point. It's the devil. It's a demon. It's a creature. It's an allegory for, you know, loss and suffering and death. Or it could also be just a fucking new school vampire.
Thought it was going to be a werewolf at one point.
Could be a fucking werewolf. I mean, every time that it shows up, you know, you can hear the wolves howl in the background.
I feel like that explanation from the preacher is going to be one of those that, like, goes down in like horror history.
You don't have to believe in a wolf for the wolf to be there. And then the fact that he's coming and he's basically a wolf in sheep's clothing and they're on like a sheep branch. And I mean, yeah, that's good writing. So like,
that is good writing. Honestly, if they didn't use the CGI, especially with like the CGI'd makeup, at least a point higher on the scale for me. Because it really did take away from it.
I mean,
everything else was so spot on.
In the wind, they didn't show anything. It was just like it came in. I know it came in as other people for the most part, because it was literally just the wind, or it was like people were possessed by these fucking demons. But and that created like this weird like paranoia of like who's who, you know, who could be trusted, like the thing type situation, which wasn't really an issue in this movie. And, you know, that worked for the win. And this movie comes as all these different people and it doesn't create that tension. And it's just kind of, this movie is a slow motion version of just watching like the alligator just like fucking take down a gazelle and like a nature special where you're just like, I'm watching it. That's fucked up. Well, that's fucked up. It's over.
Yeah. One of the last things that I really just didn't enjoy about it was just the abrupt ending. Just like, and I get it. It's supposed to be bleak, right? Like there is no escape. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Whatever. Like I get it, but it was so corny because she's laying down next to her dad. There's a noise in the other fucking room. And then she looks up and then bam, something comes out and gets her. And that's it. Like you don't even get to really see it. It's just like you see like the motion of a thing like pouncing and then that's it. Cut. The end. Like it's over. Like I feel like you could have wrapped the movie up in like a crescendo of an ending, but it's not. It's like such a weird note.
Didn't it though? Did the dad just wake up and fucking eat her?
You didn't see it. You basically saw like a, like his eyes were definitely open.
Right? Like, and he dad, like, I think the dad opened up and then, but it was the Wicked Tyler Durden that came and like bit her on the throat.
Right. It was old pee pants like coming up.
It was a werevampire.
A werevamp, yep.
I mean, so this, maybe it's this fucking creature we can't really fucking put our hand on. You know, it's obviously fucking something supernatural. I mean,
it's fucking Loki from Norse mythology.
It's basically just fucking with these people, and it fucking came for the dad, whether the mom invited it or the dad invited it, or it just came. Like, it's there, and it's just like fucking with these people. And if I was that thing and I did that stuff, this is how I'd roll.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Yeah. I wish there was a little more explanation on some things, but I mean, that's not really Brian Pots and Pans. That's not really his jam.
Forte.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to show you something. And then boom, you're in it. I mean, they do have like in Strangers, it's two people in a house and they get attacked. But at the same time, you have all this exposition of shit that wasn't shown where like this dude's proposing. She rejected the proposal. They're stuck in this house. This is supposed to be like their little getaway. It's a sad thing. This relationship, you know, falling apart and blah, blah, blah. And the same thing in this movie where you have just a couple of scenes that and you're caught up where like, you know, they haven't spoken. They're coming back because he's sick and they've been kind of estranged. They've been working on this farm, blah, blah, blah. And so, I mean, it's good writing and it's very precise. Maybe it doesn't need the, if we're just looking for all these like answers, maybe that's our fault for just.
No, I don't think it is. Because he set it up to where it was going to potentially give us something, and then I really do feel like the movie just kind of like ended.
Yeah,
does nobody else have a problem with the way that it ended? Because I really thought it was cheesy.
It was I mean, is the way the brother died was predictable. The caretaker dying was predictable. Yes, like
I could not predict. Eric, could you predict any of that? No.
Well, I predicted all that. And
okay, baby genius over here.
Baby genius. We should review that movie. The ending of it just being like snapping over was, you know, kind of like the best way he could. I mean,
I don't agree.
Story's over. Yeah. I mean, story's over.
It's just, we're in a snapshot. Like, this is what it is. I mean, the Strangers.
It's like it was mission accomplished. Everybody's dead. Let's move on.
I mean, Strangers ended with a fucking jump scare. This ends with a jump scare. I can't remember how the monster ended.
Well, I mean, at least the Strangers gave you the why that you wanted, even though it wasn't satisfactory. This one just doesn't give you a why, and that's what leaves you kind of mad.
Dude, what if the why is the same from the Strangers?
I mean, I thought that too. I said that to Maria last night. I was like, it could be the same, like, because he can.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know.
Like, why'd he do that? Because he can.
Yeah, the Strangers is like, you were home. And like, this one is like, hey, the mom was like, he's dying. You know, things are fucked up here. Don't come. And they come anyways because, you know, they're good children. And then like, so now it's on them. And it's like, why is this happening? Because you fucking came home.
Well, my whole theory actually goes back to a theory that Eric had on another episode. Elliot was saying like, hey, the devil, why would he go and do this? All this like little like goofiness. And you were like, because the devil like is like a million years old and he just wants to have some fun. This
fucking bored.
It was a cleansing. We were doing the cleansing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then like, it would make more sense in this movie if that is the case, because he does seem like he's having fun with them.
Yeah. It's like a trickster demon.
Yeah.
Best episode of Supernatural ever. That's
how. Yeah.
This is the real finale. So what do we want to do with this movie? What are we giving this?
I'm giving it a fucking to-do.
Yeah, it's a big to-do.
It's a fucking hard, fucking raging boner hard to-do.
Yeah, this might be best of the year.
You think this is the best movie of the
year? Maybe. I don't know. I gotta put my cards down and look at them.
Yep. But I'm in the same camp with Elliot. This might be the best movie of the year.
This is creepy. I was watching this on this little laptop thing you gave me. I don't know what it's officially called. I had to watch it last night when I got home from work, and it was dark outside. I was home alone. I was laying on the bed. There was not a single light on in the house, and I was watching this movie, and like there was like multiple open doors in my eye line, and I was just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's what I should have done.
Yeah.
Damn.
So like, there's a creep factor.
So I will give it a to-do. It's a to-do. I just don't feel like I liked it as much as either of y'all.
I mean, the main reason I liked it is for the emotions that it caused. I fucking love this movie. I haven't felt this shitty since I watched Midsommar.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I think Eric's right. If this said 824 at the beginning, I think Connor would be like, this is the best movie ever made.
Yeah, if it had more colors, it would definitely.
No, I love the colors on this. Like, I love the colors.
Yeah, but if it had more, then you would have given it two to-dos.
This one reminds me of, like, the fucking Grudge, because the Grudge was all trying to be all, like, sepia tone, yellowed out as fuck, and this movie, like, actually did it in a believable way. I mean, I don't know. This movie suffers just from, like, the shit that came before it.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. But I do like that they made the old preacher guy actually scary again, because I don't feel like it's been actually creepy and like ominous since like that poltergeist creepy old guy.
Poltergeist 2.
Creepy.
Poltergeist 2, exactly. So it's a to-do. Try do. And so give it a watch. I think it's going to be premiering on Shudder at some point.
We had the 2021.
RJLE.
Next year.
RJLE.
It's an RJLE movie.
Yeah, it said it's 2021 on Shudder.
Yeah, they're pumping them out, dude. See, and that's the thing too, because it gave me a lot of Relic vibes. So it's like I don't know if like Brian Bertino saw this. He saw Relic.
I really doubt it. I really think they were probably made around the same time.
Yeah, that's the same. Like The Grudge, like the it came out this year too. But does that mean it shot after? It could be you don't fucking know what these filming.
Yeah,
the best part about it was filmed in Granbury, Texas.
I agree.
Fucking love Texas.
Fucking A, man.
But all right. Like the United States of Texas.
The United States of Texas. Something. All right. Well, I guess now we'll move on over to our fun holiday segment that we're doing this month.
Tubi is free, motherfucker. Why aren't you watching it?
Exactly. So we have our Tubi recommendations, and we decided let's do a little fun stuff. You know, let's get some of these holiday fucking movies in here, these pretty much B movies, and let's just see if they're fun or not, you know? And Eric's been liking this one for a while, and he's been saying for probably years now, like, hey, you gotta watch this movie.
Yeah.
So it is the kind of remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night. It's just called Silent Night, available on Tubi.
What's with these fucking Christmas movies that have kind of remakes of remakes? Same thing happened with
Black Christmas twice
where they're like it's title only.
I don't know, but honestly, like this movie,
yeah, it's like not a remake, not a reimagining, it's like a nod to it basically.
Yeah
You know something I found interesting, just like as I was googling around, this one's based on a true story.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, that's fucking weird.
2008 Christmas Eve massacre.
Like, this guy killed 6 people with like a shotgun or some shit.
Dressed as Santa Claus.
Santa. Yeah. Wild. But yeah, this movie is like a kind of good example of like if they made old 80s B movies like today, like if they kept the same style, except like upgraded like the cinematography, upgraded like the actors. Like, they were telling, you know, Donald Logue and Malcolm McDowell, like, hey, just act fucking terrible. Like, but then you, the main girl, you act perfect. Just perfect acting.
This is a Rob Zombie movie where Rob Zombie wasn't allowed anywhere near the script.
It reminds me of like a weird kind of like early 2000s type of deal.
Yeah.
Christmas movie. Like, it's got that gritty, heavy fucking handed like gore.
I'm pretty sure this movie was directed by Rob Zombie, but he didn't write it and he wasn't allowed to be in the editing room. Every time someone said fuck, they cut it out.
Mr. Zombie, you have to wait outside, please. And he's just tapping his foot, just like, what the fuck?
They cut out all the Bill Moseley scenes.
Yeah.
Well, Rob Zombie did that shit in Halloween.
Hell yeah. Yeah, so if you have a synopsis, Elliot, yeah, go for it.
There's a synopsis?
Barely.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's on point, but it's short. The police force in a remote Midwestern town search for a killer Santa Claus who is picking off citizens on Christmas Eve. And that's all this movie is about.
That is accurate. Yes.
It's on the nose.
Like, I can't say that I didn't have at least a little fun watching it.
This movie is very fun.
Like, it's 80s slasher like vibe with the goofiness, but then they give you like the heavy-handed like gore.
This is Piranha 3D style of movie. Like, that's the these are real currently famous working actors in this like shit fest, just this like they're having a good time, just having like shooting a dumb fucking movie, and somebody's really good at it's like a good special effects, and like these one of these dudes worked with Stanley Kubrick, the other dude worked with David Fincher, and then they're in this. Just like, I was just having a good time with my kids or something, like on vacation shooting this movie.
Yeah, it kind of has that weird, like, everybody's having so much fun and it kind of radiates to you. You have fun, like, just from the contact of watching this movie. I mean, honestly, my favorite part is Malcolm McDowell, because literally somebody told him, all right, here's what you're going to do. You're going to be a bumbling sheriff who doesn't listen to anybody, and that's your character. And you're also not going to make any sense.
He's kind of, he just like thinks he's like a know-it-all. He like knows better than anybody. He's like, I'll get him.
Literally, he's like a B-movie sheriff. He's like, I am the law. Like, oh my God, the fucking thing that he, don't ever bring up problems to your superiors. You only want to bring up solutions.
His fucking one-liners, don't avocado my burger.
Yeah, that's the thing. You were putting avocado. Yeah, no, he's like, no, oh, now you're putting hummus all on the burger. Oh, okay. But he says it in like, it's so weird, the tone of it, because you still get that serious, like, 2000s horror movie tone where in the
melodrama.
Well, in an 80s movie, it would have been like the fucking music for Gomer Pyle or something, like, in the background, like, whenever he says his one-liners. But, you know, in this movie, it's just like, what? Like, what? The way that some of these lines don't make any fucking sense really just takes me back to even, like, Blood Rage.
I think this movie took place in the same world as Wolf of Snow Hollow.
That's what I, okay, honestly, that's the kind of the vibe I got. Because it's like horror, like, it's definitely not... It's definitely not like the same movie or anything, but like I did get a little, like a lot of that vibe. I'm like, I've watched a movie like this recently and I can't remember.
This is a Snow Hollow, like missed the mark. Snow Hollow was like sharp and like on point and funny and like, it's just, but it was like super quick, quippy dialogue. This is if
all this that is disjointed
just,
as fuck.
Yeah, just missed its mark and came at you randomly. I mean,
there's something to be said about that though, because it like literally took it embodied the B slasher moviness in a modern movie, and I think they that was completely their intention. I do think that
it's like they
I believe
the script's so bad they're like, oh fuck, like wouldn't it be funny if we like made this, and it's like, yeah, it would. And he's like, you want to make it?
Yeah
I mean, and like the actors are probably the same thing. It's like, oh fuck, this is dumb. Hey, I'll shit, I'll be in it, pay me.
Yeah, I'll do it for $10. Let's do
it. Brian McDowell's like, do you want me to like, you know, speak in my British accent or like an American accent? And they're just like, fuck it, whatever you feel like that. Like, change it, switch it up. Like, oh, you can do both. Fucking do both.
Yes, both of them.
Both of them.
You can just switch it up. I mean, fuck, turn that shit on and off. Go ahead.
But yeah, the main character, the Jamie King, she was like way too good for this movie.
Absolutely, her character was great. Well,
She was in the My Bloody Valentine remake.
She was.
Yeah, oh, yeah, she like the wife right. in that.
Dude, honestly, yeah. She looks so similar to like the cop in Wolf of Snow Hollow that's kind of what made me also think of that movie, because they kind of look similar.
Yeah, the scene where she's getting dressed and puts her hair up.
Yeah, I thought it was her. I had to look it up.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
Oh man. Man, and her character's like got some serious like depth to it. Like that scene where she's like, you know, hanging out with her family and all that before Christmas, and like her dad's just like, her dad is so fucking funny. He's just like the jolliest dad ever, and he's like, I just want to win the Santa.
He's the fucking softball dad.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Like the kid, the dad that takes all the neighborhood kids to play softball.
Oh yeah.
And he's just like cheering from the stands.
He's like, I love you.
Like, yeah. It's okay to strike out.
Yeah, and he's just like, oh no, you're perfect. You've never made a mistake in your life. I love you so much. But then like later on, he's just like in his Santa suit, and he's just like, oh well, no, you're a perfect cop. I was a cop for 45 years. I know what it takes to be a good cop. And then,
well, it's because they had to drive home the fact that like, he shot that dude when he's
hey, like, oh. Look, I know, but like the fact that like it opened up and he's like this jolly old like soft dad that like literally legitimately looks like the nicest dad that's ever been in a movie ever. And then he's just like, it wouldn't be the first time that one of us had to kill. He's just like, you will find, like he turns into like fucking Taken. he was like, you will find him. You will bring him to justice.
I guess,
and he's like, goodbye.
Yeah, I guess it.
I was waiting for him to say, you will kill him.
Me too.
I guess it's supposed to be sad, like when he dies or whatever, because he's so.
And he just randomly gets found disemboweled. Yeah. We don't see it, right? Or did I miss it?
She finds the body because he's at the parade, yeah. And then like all of a sudden he's at home disemboweled in the next scene. Wow. But like Ashley was sitting down watching it with me, and like that scene came on, and like when Jamie King just starts crying, Ashley's like, God damn, come on. And like she was just like done with how stupid this fucking movie is. Like, now.
That's about where Kinsey walked into. Like she started watching the end of it, and she was just like, this fucking movie sucks so bad. I'm like, but you didn't see the rest of it though.
You don't have to.
You suck bad, okay?
With the graphic nudity.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Okay.
That carried it. That carried this movie.
We were talking about this the other day. Like some things like only in an 80s B slasher is a girl like full on frontal, like boobs just flapping in the wind for like a good 3 or 4 minutes, just like running down the street, like knocking on doors and stuff. You can't get away with that anymore, you know, but they did. And it like felt, they even shot it with shitty film. Like
it's like one of those like the 2000, like the super saturated kind of like weird, like overexposed kind of.
Yeah, they kept using those shitty camera tricks with the blue light.
I mean, it was and speaking of My Bloody Valentine remake, this movie hits all the same plot points as My Bloody Valentine as far as like the graphic nudity chase scene, the red herrings, the whodunit to like the surprise ending. This is this movie's bad, and fucking Donald Logue is so fucking giving an amazing performance and like that rant in the jail. Like, I'm probably
steal that
and put that before a song.
Shit. Yeah.
He was like, he was actually like doing it. Like, he's like had this whole long speech and was actually like, you know, acting the fuck out of it. It's like, and then immediately he's like, ah, but who gives a fuck?
I think it's hard for Donald Logue to like act badly.
He's,
like, because like he was supposed to act badly. Like, you could tell by his character. He's not looking anybody even in the eyes, and he's like, hey, don't you walk away from me.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like barely.
What's your name so I could put it in the complaint?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I love that fucking line.
I thought he was going to like do something because he is actually the only one like landing punches on this like evil Santa. But no, he died too.
No.
And what the fuck was up with Knives Chow?
Oh, God.
In
the fucking
beginning, then she's just gone for like an hour. And then all of a sudden, she's like victim number one in the police station getting chased down the halls. I don't even know what the fuck happened to her at the end of the movie.
She was, they did a lot. She was just randomly like, well, she got in a lot.
Yeah, but then she was gone. And then she was like getting chased into this door that led to.
She was a secretary. She was a main character.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't feel like it was. Like, I think that that's where your head's at, because you're like, is that Knives? Like,
it just seems like
she's not in the movie, like, really.
Kept
like,
forgetting that she was in the fucking movie every time.
What is the guy's deal, like, that other cop? Like, is he just lazy, or was he hungover? Like, I could never figure out what.
He's hungover, and he's lazy, and he doesn't give a fuck. Like, he came in late because he's, like, partying, but then he, like.
He's one of the cops from Snow Hollow.
Like, yeah. No shit.
And he's all like, I got a headache. I can't do this. I better stay here.
Yeah.
Did you hear him say the fucking, was it garbage day or whatever?
No.
He's taking it. He's like, hey, take out the garbage. And then like, he's walking the trash bags, you know, up to, down the street. And he's like, it was a garbage day. And then he heard the weird heavy metal coming from the abandoned car that the Santa Claus was hiring.
I want to say that's like a fucking throwdown song. I don't
know
what the fuck is
going on. That didn't make sense at all. I don't know. Because it was like, oh, trouble's going to be happening. I thought there's going to be like some like weird, like, you know, cliche stoner metal people or something like that to like up the victim count. But then he goes there and it's abandoned in the front seat. And he's like, hello. And then like the Santa gets him in the eye with like a fucking pickaxe or some bullshit. But then I was just like, why is the Santa just hiding out in this abandoned like metal car?
Yeah, like that's.
Then it does not make sense.
And the grandpa being comatose and saying,
oh my God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The line, the Santa line from
the, is it the
Silent Night, Deadly Night?
Yeah.
He's coming to get you.
That didn't make sense at all. Like, why is grandpa?
No.
Well, yeah, he's why? Like, he was like 50 years old, but he's like, oh, it's my comatose elderly grandfather.
Yeah.
Heavy makeup. And then why would his wallet be there? And why would it be full of cash if he's obviously been comatose in this fucking retirement home for years? Why would he have a wallet full of cash that the kid steals? Like, that shit didn't make fucking sense at all.
Oh, buddy. I know.
And even, oh, dude, even the, I don't know his name, but the cop from the like the very beginning of the movie who was like hooked up and electrocuted with the Christmas lights. Like, he's an actor. Like, he's in shit too, but they barely showed his face. Like, he's like, yeah, just wrap my head in fucking Christmas lights. It's cool. I don't give a fuck.
Oh my God. And that scene was so bad. Like, all right, do bad improv. Like, this guy's coming at you with an axe.
I didn't know she was married, bro.
He's like, what? And then, like, on the subtitles, it's, like, stammering. And he's just like, like,
I didn't know she's married. You're not her husband. You're a sick guy. What?
You're just a sick fuck.
That's what you want to say to your captor.
The realization. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, nobody's going to.
Who the fuck says that?
He's a trained police officer.
Like, I wouldn't go kill you before, but now I am.
He's like, hey, don't kill anybody. But if you do, you're a fucking freak. Are you a freak? You guy's a freak. He's going to do it. I mean, like,
they did gotta kill
this baby. Guy's gonna fucking do it, freak.
You wearing your mom's panties right now, sicko?
Yeah, it's like, you didn't need to escalate it like that. There's no reason to escalate it that hard.
Fucking shit. One of my favorite things is like, there was that little girl at the beginning.
Oh, I know.
Like the little girl, and she was like, fuck church. Go get your purse and meet me in the car. Like, I was like, and oh my God. And then like, and then she sees the Santa outside. She's like, great. Salvation fucking army.
Dude, was it her mom, Lisa Marie?
I don't know.
I think her mom was Lisa Marie from all the Tim Burton movies.
Oh. I don't know, man.
All right, let me look it up.
And then, like, they killed the kid just right off the bat, like fucking 5 minutes into the movie. The first, like, the second kill is like that kid, and he just like guts her, like just like.
Did they try to throw it off, make it seem like it was the priest who was the killer?
They did that with so many people.
There's so many red hair.
Yeah, because the mom was like, "Yeah, when I said I wanted her gone, I meant boarding school."
I think they're trying to make it look like maybe like the cops were gonna think she did it. Yeah, no, yeah, Lisa Marie, Mrs. Morwood.
Wow,
this okay. Like this movie is fucking
star-studded, baby.
Star-studded,
and it's so bad. Did y'all watch Hubie Halloween?
No.
Oh yeah, that movie is fucking terrible.
Yes, but it was also very fun, and that's the same vibe I get from this movie.
Oh, I enjoyed this way more than I enjoyed Hubie Halloween.
I don't know, man. It was pretty fun.
The gore in this movie is pretty fucking good.
The gore was phenomenal. Great. Like, okay, talking about you were talking about Blood Rage. Fuck Blood Rage for a second. Like, even though it's still really really good for the gore for the head splitting scene, bro. It's like a fucking, like, his head not only split in half, but it's just, like, crumbled to bits, like, and it looked just...
Mwah. You know what scene impressed me was when she shot the cocaine dealer.
Oh, right between the eyes?
Well, right in the forehead. She, like, shoots him and then just fucking cherry pie all over the walls.
And it keeps squirting.
Oh,
usually, yeah. Because they usually just have, like, one charger, it's like, on the wall, but this one's like, and it's like, bloop, bloop, bloop. Like arterial spray. That was good. I mean, like, again, back to Piranha. Like, Piranha was full of stars. It was a shitty movie, shitty CGI, shitty script. But you have these actors just having fun with it. And then you have, like, top-notch gore. I think Kane B did Piranha 3D. And so you have, those, like, the top-notch fucking gore. And I think the gore in this one's amazing. It's just, it's almost wasted on this fucking movie. I mean, Blood Rage was amazing.
This was a fun horror movie.
I kind of feel like this is what The Dead Don't Die actually is. Something like this.
Oh, no. Don't even bring up that movie.
That movie was...
Did you watch it? Did you watch
I watched
it?
That.
Yeah, that movie was fucking disgustingly terrible.
That movie is really bad.
Offensive?
It was pointless as fuck.
I like shit and that movie was fucking terrible.
It was just so fucking boring.
That's what I heard. It's, but I like, you know,
boring. But I mean, like, Blood Rage, like, the gore was shocking because, like, it's like, could they do that back then? And like this movie, you know, they can do great effects. And like, you know, great effects is obviously where they put their budget in this movie.
Well, and the actors, they gotta be, unless everybody just were, you know, volunteered.
Maybe everybody got busted for cocaine and this is all just like, you know, court ordered or some shit like that. Like, you gotta make And they're like, yeah, I'll make a fucking.
Honestly, based on the timeline, I think this is around where everybody had like a stall in their career.
Really?
I mean, okay. It's. I don't.
Could be.
I mean, Malcolm McDowell wasn't doing shit around that time.
Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Yeah, don't act like that was a big movie.
Oh, it's huge.
Resurrected the franchise. It fucking made that fucking company a lot of money and did well at the box office. But like, I think it's just part of the trend that was going on because there was a few movies like that where it's just like bad fucking cheesy B horror movies. And then, I mean, Richard Dreyfuss was in Piranha 3D. So like, I think it's just a thing of there's a few of these movies. I can't remember the other ones off the top of my head, but I remember there's like a string of them in the mid early 20-aughts where it's just like, fuck it. Like, maybe it's just like, do it just because.
When was this movie made? Like 2012 or something?
Yeah. Well, the murder was 2008. This was, 2012. So, I mean, it's a thing. So maybe it's just a fun thing to do. Maybe people talk about it in the industry of just like, yeah, it's pretty fucking fun. If you got nothing going on, it's like sign up for a fucking horror movie because it's not one of those things. It's the industry's not like it used to be where it's like, oh, you did a sex scene and then like you're blacklisted or you're in this horror movie, you're blacklisted. Now it's just like, you're in this fucking movie, you're on TV. Like, okay, who cares? Like, just get it.
Yeah, true.
There used to be a whole stigma. Like, you never cross TV or movies or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And you never...
Malcolm McDowell really wasn't in anything decent after Halloween 2 around that time.
He wasn't anything decent after Clockwork Orange.
Damn.
He was in Home Alone, the Holiday Heist TV movie, Silent Hill Revelation.
Yeah, bro, check your fucking life, Elliot. There you go.
I think he'll just do anything.
Oh, he had just done Excision, too.
Oh, yeah, he did do it. Well, I mean, nobody's seen Excision. Elliot would love it, though.
Elliot's never seen it?
I don't think so. No.
I can't even tell what you're saying right now.
Excision? Just watch it. So,
Excision.
Excision, baby. Man, but this movie's got so many fucking one-liners. And if you really don't pay attention, then it's easy to just, like, think that it's part of the dialogue. Like, with the fucking shitty cop, apparently they were saying, like, yeah, this Santa fucking got arrested. And he's just like, well, I mean, maybe he popped a boner or something. And Aubrey is just, like, looking at him. And he's just like, what? The guy's, you know, got kids sitting on his lap all day? It was bound to happen eventually. Has anybody had a background check done on you or... Or what, like...
It's like a... Yeah, it's... All the jokes are bad.
Like, that's the thing. They're so bad. There's so many of those little doodads. Like, the scythe to the taint. The little baby, like, whatever scythe to the taint that guy takes. The porn director. Like, just right into the taint.
Dude, like, speaking... Like, all the weapons... They look like they're, like, weird and homemade, but they also look, like, cheap as fuck. Like, his knife that he stabs, like, that priest with is, like, this, like, weird foam shit.
Like, he sharpened, like, a fucking rotted piece of metal from a barrel.
Yeah, it looked like that, but then it also looked like a Halloween prop that was supposed to be a rotted shard of metal from a barrel. So I was just like, God damn.
Like, remember when the girl that was doing porn, like, fell out the window? And it cut away to this really bad CGI, like, falling scene.
Like an angel. Like a...
Yeah. And it was just so fucking fun. And then, like, she's just running down the street, just topless, and just...
She kept falling on the asphalt and she fell on the steps.
Mm-hmm.
Did they use a stunt woman for that?
No, nah, man. She's all method, baby.
I was, like, pretty impressed by that, actually.
Yeah.
I was like, she's bucket naked falling on fucking asphalt? That hurts.
It do.
And she got murdered broad daylight.
That'll scrape some wood knees. Chipper.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Like, I noticed that it was in broad daylight, like, you know, and I was like, wow, that's weird.
Nobody's
But yeah.
Well, he launches the fucking axe at her, and it fucking, like, barely cuts her Achilles tendon.
Well, wasn't that the mayor's daughter, right?
Oh, that was the mayor's daughter.
Yes, that it was with her. He cuts off her fucking leg.
Yeah, cuts off her leg.
The other one barely hits the fucking tendon.
Yeah,
fucking throws a 20-pound axe and fucking like, no, that's not gonna happen.
Fucking paper cut to the heel.
All fucking slow motion. Dude, and then like the red and green light at the end for like the dangers.
Oh, thank God you said that. Something about that. It's fucking pink and red. Yeah. Like, what the fuck was up with that?
It's just a stylistic choice, but also supposed to be, like, warning lights and also supposed to be, like, you know, Christmas. So it's just they're trying to drive home Christmas. Like, I mean, I hate anything Christmas. Everybody that knows me that I hate everything remotely associated with Christmas. So, like, this movie is super annoying to watch with all the, like, Christmas decor and the trees and the
8 million Santas.
The 8 million Santas and the music.
Yeah, you're going to have a hell of a month, man.
Yeah, I was just like, fuck that. Like, so it put me in a bad mood. I didn't have as much fun as I thought I was supposed to. Like, if this had been, like, based in the summer and he'd just been in, like, another costume, I probably would have enjoyed this a lot more. But
that's the whole point.
Yeah, I just hate Christmas so much that it kind of, like, ruined it for me. But this is, like, a fun slasher. Yeah, just if, like, you want to see some gore, it's all you want to see is the, you know, boobies, gore, famous people, you know, shaming themselves for your entertainment.
Yeah.
And
like,
hell yeah, brother.
Okay, can we real quick, can we talk about the fucking preacher?
The creepy what preacher.
The fuck, the creepiest preacher ever in any movie ever. And he's going on his whole like fucking monologue about how American Idol and internet pornography is tainting the world with sin.
He's like, there's the bad side of Christmas. And then he goes into that. Like,
he's fire and brimstone as fuck. But then he's like, you know, scamming on all the girls and even the female cop. And it's just fuck.
Yeah, just being a little creep, but But yeah, man, that's
all we got to say about that.
Yeah, this was you know, if you're looking for something like pretty gory, pretty modern, if you're not like an old slasher, I will say some of the shit just straight up does not make any sense. Like one scene in particular, like when she lets the perp get away, you know, the cocaine dealer or whatever. Yeah. And then Malcolm McDowell's just like, you missed your shot. You can't tell me nothing.
Yeah. Well, she was like beating herself up for it. Like, like she fucked up. And I'm like, well, what did you do? Like the guy blindsided you.
That's totally one of the fucking like shitty script 80s things, though. It's like they harp on things that like weren't that obvious or like shouldn't be with what we saw on film. But then also, like, she says, I get it, I fucked up, and I'm gonna have to live with that for the rest of my life. Then she like walks like 2 feet and then turns around and she says, you can trust me. Does not make any fucking sense.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know what? Don't watch just for the story. Watch it for the kills. I mean, and I'm always as far as slasher goes, I'm always like, the mask makes or breaks the character for me, because I'm all superficial.
Yeah, you are.
I mean, he looked like a cool fucking Santa. I mean, his mask was not bad. They showed him making
I'd hang out with him.
They showed him.
I was going to say, they show him making it.
And he had other ones and stuff like that. And so, like,
he's basically wearing the mask I was wearing.
Yeah, it's like a see-through mask, but then, like, his face is, like, painted with, like, dark eyes or whatever. And it's got, like, a red nose. And then he's just got a beard. And I mean, he's.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's probably the best creepy Santa you're going to get.
True.
A lot better than Silent Night, Deadly Night, where it was like this 20-year-old kid, like the beard under his chin, like, oh, I'm freaking out. What's going on, man? He's like, Santa, stab.
Having a moment.
Yeah. I have trauma. What? Axe to the head.
Axe to the fucking head. Oh, my God. The fucking boyfriend of the mayor's daughter or whatever. God, the worst actor I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah, he was bad.
Oh, my God. When she was, like, blowing him, she's just, like, about to give him a blowjob. And then she's like, does Christmas come early this year? She looks away for, like, 1 second. And he's like, don't stop. So he sounds like Eric when he's making fun of a fucking actor.
There's no way that he would have scored the mayor's daughter.
Yeah, there's no way.
The burnout, like.
Well, actually, doesn't that just make sense, though?
No, like, it would have been, like, Chet, like, the, like, swarmy guy, or it would have been, like a you know, biker-y dude, but this dude just looked like a stoner with the body of a Twinkie.
Yeah, and he also looked, like, way fucking younger than her.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like he just showed up to deliver pizza.
That's kind of what he did.
That's because he probably was 21 years old, and is like, now, who do we get for the 16-year-old daughter? A 34-year-old stripper. Come in here, Darla. Like,
Darla.
Yeah, I'm not gonna put some young girl in the sexy Santa costume and pretend to get this man a blowjob on film. Cut to the next day. Okay, could you take off your bra? You're gonna fall out the window. You're gonna run around outside completely naked. Make sure your titties are out. Get the headlights pointed. Now run.
Yeah.
Speaking of titties, they had the mayor's daughter do the iconic being impaled by the horns of the elk or deer or whatever the fuck it was, wearing clothes. Like, you can't do the Linnea Quigley fucking scene and you're not topless?
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
and it was
you just ruined the movie.
The worst of all the special effects, because just kind of like, meow, Play-Doh.
It was so...
Yeah, put it in there like 2 inches in. It's like, that'll support the weight. I like how me and Eric are arguing two different points. It's like, no boobs, I hate it. And then I'm like, well, that's not going to support her weight.
It was just a not well done scene. No boob, lack of penetration by the horns.
Oh, okay. I thought this was going to go a different way, but yes, go on.
He's like, lack of penetration by the horns. Thank God. That's what he said.
Oh, my God. All right. So this is a fun little doodad.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. It's fucking, I don't know. If you gotta, I mean,
it's,
I wanna,
it's you know, you could do worse.
I have a fond memory as an adult being at my parents' house Christmas Eve, me, my brother, my mom, and my dad watching Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, God.
And just basically this having, like, just ripping it apart, because my mom will fucking, she'll roast movies and it's fucking hilarious, especially like bad horror movies. Like, me and my brother, like, really watching, and she's just like, well, come on, you know. So I mean, this would be a fun movie to actually watch with your family on, you know, Christmas Eve.
Yeah, definitely. With your, if you have people over, especially your grandma's there, well, I could pop this bitch in.
I don't know about that.
No, yeah. Dude, if you get if you have like a
cool grandma,
like a National Lampoon's Christmas.
No, your super conservative family slapped a son of a bitch.
A Christmas vacation style situation where you got a lot of people in your home, which you probably shouldn't because of COVID. But if you do, pop this thing in right there.
Sons of bitches. Yeah.
We're going to try to hopefully get more like these on Tubi, try to review these before the month ends. We'll see, though. It's fucking busy as shit.
We're doing our fucking best, okay?
Yeah, that's true. All right.
That's all I got.
That's all I got, man.
Yeah, let's wrap this puppy up.
Okay. Well, as always, you can find us where we're most active on Instagram at Cult of Horror Podcast. You can find us on Facebook at Cult of Horror. You can find us on YouTube at Cult of Horror. You can find us on TikTok at Cult of Horror. And, oh, you can also drop us a line if you have any suggestions for Catfish's Creepy Tales or Elliot to do a deep dive on a movie. Let us know at cultofhorrorpodcast@gmail.com. And that is it.
You should. If anybody has any stories of horrible Christmas movies that they've watched with their family before, or if you plan on putting on a Christmas horror movie this year, let us know.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, if you filmed a Christmas horror movie, send it to us and we'll review it.
If we've learned anything today, is don't avocado your burger.
Don't you fucking avocado your burger.
Keep it simple, stupid.
All right.
Like the poster to The Dark and the Wicked.
All right. Well, we'll see y'all next time. Happy holidays. If we don't hear from you, if you don't hear from us, happy holidays, and try to get through this season. And we're getting closer to vaccine time. So see what's up.
Yeah.
We'll
see what's up.
All right.
Once COVID's over, we need to do a all of us in person episode.
Yeah,
I'm like sure. Just to see what it'd be like, just to see what the energy.
This energy cannot be contained.
Matter cannot be created nor destroyed.
That's what it says on the crotch of Eric's pants.
Accurate.
All right. On that note, we'll see y'all later. Take care.
And don't put avocado on the burger.
Oh.
Drink the Kool-Aid, bitches.
Can you believe this? It's Christmas Eve, but we got orders to bring in Santa Claus.
You shouldn't talk like that.
Sammy.